Speaking of which, I recently watched the Back to the Future trilogy. I noticed something that I'd never seen before, and that is in part because I'm watching it on Blu-ray, right? Total high def, 1080p gorgeousness. And there's like an adult theater in the hometown, like in the square, you know? And I never noticed it, but on the marquee, it says Orgy American Style. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? I never noticed that ever. I don't know if it was just because it was blurry before or I just wasn't paying attention, but I never saw that ever.
I've noticed that in the past too, and it just goes to show how kind of run down the town had become. Because in 1955, it's a quaint little movie theater playing Ronald Reagan movies. In 85, it's just basically a sticky floor porno theater.
Whatever happened to Mayor Goldie Wilson cleaning up this town? In fact, if he want to be reelected, that means he's supposedly been cleaning up the town. Oh, lies.
This is the clean version. You don't want to see 1975.
Well, what about the alternate 1985? That who knows what that place is then?
Oh.
It's like an
fun.
opium den. God damn it!
It
I get it!
was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
And now you want to go.
No, I slept with like three girls a night. No one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh, God. You guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin, and with me as always is David and Randy. How the hell are you two doing tonight?
Pretty damn good.
Wunderbar.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm fabulous, Dave. Thanks for asking.
Hey, I'm happy to help.
In fact, we actually have a lot to talk about this week, so we probably shouldn't waste too much time, which is what we do whenever I host a show, which is not a good track record for me. We blab about shit all night long. Got a lot to cover, so why don't we start with some leakage? Anal leakage or Sony leakage? What do we got?
We'll talk a little bit of both. So poor Sony, you know, they've been hit a couple times by hackers over the years. You know, the Sony, the PlayStation Network went down famously. But recently they've been attacked by a group of hackers who on the surface say that they want the movie The Interview, the James Franco and Seth Rogen movie about assassinating the president of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. They don't want that movie to happen because North Korea has decided that it's an act of war. Apparently, they didn't see Team America or any other like comedy in the last like 10 years that's got something to do with war. They're all about the fucking North Koreans. You know, you guys are the bad guys. I'm sorry.
Right.
you just are. You know, in your country, in North Korea, I'm sure America's the bad guys. I'm sure like all of their war movies are like those fucking Americans and like we're the dudes. So, you know, you guys just got the raw end of the stick on this side of the globe, so might just need to suck it up. But more importantly, you're going to notice our site, you know, we have a lot of coverage for film, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of sites that are going to want to report on, you know, actual leaked things. Like today we got word that in the leaked Sony documents was the script for the movie Spectre. And, you know, while that is newsworthy and we reported on that, if I were to be given the opportunity to read the script from Spectre, I would not report on that. You know, I think that that's stolen property, and much like we wouldn't post the nudes of Jennifer Lawrence because we're not that kind of site, it really is an invasion of privacy, and it's not actual news journalism. It's something that you would find in the Enquirer. You're not going to find on the pages of Geek Legacy. I did post one story. I posted about Spider-Man and Marvel crossover potential.
Shame on you.
It was the first story to come out of the Sony hack thing, and I posted on there, and a lot of news outlets did, and like a lot of them did, I think we all kind of, I talked with this about with a couple different contributors and other sites, and we kind of had this collective like, it's not right, we shouldn't be talking about this kind of stuff, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy going around on social media about people who were the first ones to come to, you know, Jennifer Lawrence's defense, but, you know, they're really lambasting, you know, the people at Sony. Sure, they may have said some stuff they shouldn't have sent, but these are private emails. We shouldn't know about that kind of stuff, and we should all stay away from all of this, because in the end, it really just hurts the film industry. You know, it really creates this negative vacuum around Sony, and if it can happen to Sony, it can just as easily happen to Disney. It can happen to just any studio, and when you have this huge corporation that has tens of thousands of employees around the world, You know, just think about your own personal email box. If someone were to hack your email box, I'm sure there's stuff in there that you would never want the public to know. You know, I don't have a racist bone in my body, but if they were to hack my email, they would find all sorts of stuff that they could take out of context and paint me as probably a racist, a homophobe, a bigot, and just an all-around asshole. And we all know I'm just an asshole. I'm not those other things.
Right.
So, so Geek Legacy, we're going to try to stay above it. Obviously, if something breaks to where, you know, all of a sudden Star Wars is out there, I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to lie. But, you can all call me hypocrites at that point. But do you guys have any thoughts on the leaks? Or Justin, what about you?
I get a little disappointed with all the leaks. It's like there are no surprises anymore. There was a time when in order for me to know something about a game, I had to subscribe to a magazine like Nintendo Power or Game Pro or something like that. And those days are long gone. So I find it more frustrating than anything else. I like to have my information given to me at the right pace. If you get all the information ahead of time, then where's the joy? Digesting. I like to digest my information. Randy is a little bit different, though. He has like one of those lenses that like a jeweler has where they can just find all the flaws in everything.
He's like, I'm a fan of knowledge. I like to know what's going on. I like to feel like I'm in the know. And the only thing I'm really that passionate about is Star Wars. Like David was saying, if something Star Wars were to be leaked, which why would it from Sony? But I mean, if it were to be leaked in general, I would be all over that. Of course, this particular stuff doesn't excite me. If for some reason I had the opportunity to read the Spectre script right this second, I wouldn't, because number one, I'm lazy. Number two, I prefer my entertainment visually. You know, it's like
reading's
I didn't want to say reading is dumb, but no, but you know, I like Bond, but I want to wait for the movie. You know, I don't think it's that important. Star Wars, Indiana Jones, something like that, something that, you know, franchises that I've been in love with my entire life. Then yeah, I would look at it differently. I'm super secretive about working on even tiny little films and projects and shit like that. So I hate the idea of images or documents, scripts, what have you, being leaked at all. So which is kind of hypocritical on my part, because I'm all over that shit when it comes to Star Wars. But I wouldn't want my own stuff leaked. And
would you and, say and you hate have this to look hacker at, shit?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you guys think of the Star Wars names being released?
Awesome.
Randy.
Yeah, I've got no problems with it. I thought it was pretty cool. So earlier this week, we were treated to some official imagery, which is basically all just stills from the teaser that we've already seen, but it's done in classic Topps collector cards from like the 70s and 80s kind of way, and it's really neat. And every single one of them has a little caption on the bottom of it, and it's incorporating their name. And it's incredibly retro. It's very cool. I believe they're all watermarked with Entertainment Weekly. So are they going to actually be published in the magazine, or is it something that's just online for them? Do you guys know the answer to that question?
There was a blurb in the magazine that showed a couple of the cards, but the actual, if you want to see all of them, you have to go to their website.
Or go to Geek Legacy, because we have all of them as well.
That's right.
But, yeah, so just kind of going in teaser order here, our first friendly, quote unquote, maybe friendly stormtrooper that we see in the teaser, his name is Finn, and with two N's, and it's cool to kind of speculate who he might be on a grander scale, because we've noticed that some of these cards are noticeably lacking a last name for some of these characters, and we think that some of them might actually be related to original trilogy heroes, and they're keeping that secret for now. So going next in order of the trailer here, we see the adorable little soccer ball droid whose name is BB-8. BB-8, and I immediately laughed, because when I saw that, it made me think of, I don't know if that's creative or lazy, but it's like they named him Basketball 8, because the little ball that he spins on, it's got those orange circles on it, so when it goes really fast, it just looks like an orange ball. So they named him after the basketball. and then Daisy Ridley's character is Rey, and like R-E-Y, like king or royalty in Espanol for all of you Spanish-speaking folks out there. But we can't help but notice her striking resemblance to Carrie Fisher, to a young Princess Leia. So we think, could her last name be Organa? Could it be Solo? Who knows? But she doesn't have a last name posted, so maybe, just maybe, she's related. Or even cooler, and we were talking about this before we started recording the podcast, maybe, just maybe, she's a Skywalker. How cool could that be? I like the thought of that.
That's my hopes and dreams.
Now that means that it would be Luke's kid if it's a Skywalker.
If it's a Skywalker, theoretically, it would be Luke's kid because he's the only Skywalker in name out there.
Right. Yeah. So that also means that he
is a dead dad.
That and he is not taking his Jedi business too seriously.
Well, because I think he's not an official member of the Jedi Order, which would prevent him from banging around. So I think he still would have access to love the ladies.
Yeah.
Question is, who would he have had a kid with if that's his kid?
Mara Jade.
I would love it if Mara Jade was made into the new canon. Serious. I would adore that. I don't know though. I don't know. All right.
Now Luke and Leia had a moment on Hoth. Did they take that further off screen?
I don't know. I don't see any extra fingers or toes on her, so I'm going to say that the Skywalker family inbreeding did not happen in the official Star Wars canon. Maybe only the fan fiction.
What about Leia was a slave to Jabba the Hutt, and presumably he made her do things she's not proud of. And this kid looks to be about the right age.
Okay, I'll agree with you there. She's part Hutt? She's wearing a lot of wraps and coverings. So who knows? She could have kind of that slimy, slug-like skin beyond her face.
Well, yeah, and it might work because in the trailer, George Lucas Special Edition, Jabba the Hutt was in her scene.
This
so
is true.
Maybe that's just a proud daddy watching his daughter go off to work. Her first day of international school.
Oh, man. I like where you're going with this.
Are you kidding? People would like burn J.J. Abrams' house to the ground if he made her Leia and Jabba the Hutt's kid.
Oh, man. All right, moving right along. One of the next characters that we see is Poe Dameron piloting his X-Wing fighter. So he's one of the few that we actually get a last name on, so we know he can't be related to anybody significant in the original cast. But what do you think of that name? Poe Dameron, or Dameron, I don't know how to pronounce it. Looks like Cameron with a D.
Oh, the names are weird. You know,
I know.
This one kind of stands out as kind of odd. Doesn't roll off the tongue as well as like Rey Organa or Rey Skywalker.
Yeah.
Or even the Sith name that's going to come up in a second. Those all Star Wars names, even though they're odd and they have like Q's and U's and X's, usually they roll off the tongue like Qui-Gon Jinn. That's a weird fucking name, but you know, it rolls off the tongue. Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, I don't know if it's just we're used to saying it, but you know, they do have this cadence to them that makes them easy to say. And so Poe Dameron, I don't know. It's just, maybe my mouth's not used to saying it yet. It just doesn't seem to roll off the tongue as easy.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, when we only saw Qui-Gon's name in print before you heard it spoken for the first time in episode one, I think most people, myself included, we were pronouncing it as like Qui-Gon.
Yeah, I could see that.
Who knows? Maybe there's a different pronunciation involved for his name.
I mean, Lando Calrissian doesn't really roll off the tongue as well as it could. You know, there are names that, you know, they don't have to. I mean, it's Oscar Isaac. I'm excited. I think he'll be amazing. That's all.
And here's the thing, too. How many times is somebody referred to by their first and last name? You know? Well,
you mean on screen?
On screen.
No, I agree.
So you're probably not going to hear his name referred to in its entirety a whole lot, but
Poe. Red Leader. Maybe they'll call him Red Leader.
Oh, there you go. Or maybe he's got some sort of rank. Maybe he'll be like Captain or Lieutenant. Lieutenant Dameron. Captain Dameron. General, I don't know. Generals probably wouldn't be piloting an X-Wing. Anyway, I digress. Moving right along, the next big name reveal, and this is, I think, the last big name reveal that we've got going on here, is the mysterious shrouded Sith character that we see. His name is Kylo Ren. And the first thing that jumped out to me when I saw this is it was like a combination of Ryu and Ken. It made me think of Street Fighter. Is that weird? But Kylo Ren is his name, and that name it didn't really flow for me. But the more I've been seeing it and saying it, I think it's working. It's working for me. All right, and then the rest we all know about. Stormtroopers are stormtroopers. X-wings are X-wings, and of course the Millennium Falcon. Trot that old girl out to dance one last time. Good to go.
Do you think the Millennium Falcon's going to blow up in the final episode?
I hope not. That's one of those things that I think can transcend cast and era. But
are you thinking like Han goes out in a blaze of glory and like crashes the Falcon into something to like save people?
Like maybe. The end of Independence Day?
Maybe.
Yeah. Welcome to Earth.
It's just it's been through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, it would definitely be a way to pass the... But it's almost a way to pass the baton on to the new generation while maintaining a bit of the past. You know, if maybe they're able to pass on the Falcon to Rey Solo.
Yeah, and you know, they spent a lot of money on those sets there, so they're going to try to milk them for all they're worth. We're going to reuse those things until they turn to dust.
We've got to use them in the next Star Trek movie.
Shit. That's funny. But, you know, I think that would be an incredibly heroic and fun way to kill off the Han Solo character. Have him just go kamikaze with the Falcon right into something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. Really, the only original trilogy cast member whose story I'm interested in is Luke's.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy that we're getting Han and we're happy we're getting Leia, but, you know, really the one who... whose story post-Return of the Jedi interests me the most is Luke Skywalker. You know, Han's story, you know, his redemption story is pretty much told in those three films. You know, Leia, you know, she pretty much serves her purpose in those three films, but there just seems to be, well, I take that back. There's so much more for Leia to do, but it's in a pull sphere, and I want my next three Star Wars to stay as far away from politics as possible.
Yeah.
And so I got enough of that in the prequels and the Clone Wars cartoon to where her story, while interesting to read about, probably I wouldn't mind seeing some of that in novels. On the screen, I want to see the Jedi. I want to see Luke. I want to see them lightsabers.
Yeah.
Amen to that. I'm just going to throw one last little Star Wars tidbit out since we're talking about it, and I don't know where else I could stick it in this podcast. But did you hear that Frank Oz is coming back to voice Yoda in an episode of Rebels?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah, the next episode that's going to be airing when they come back from their winter hiatus in January, on the 5th, I believe, we're going to hear the disembodied voice of Yoda as he is talking to Kanan and Ezra. And it's actually going to be not the voice of Yoda from the animated series, but actually the voice from like Clone Wars. It's going to be the voice of Yoda from the movies. So I think that's exciting.
Mm. James Earl Jones and Frank Oz in this show.
They're really pushing Rebels hard, but you know, I'm still enjoying the crap out of it. So bring it on.
Destructive Creations. This is a video game company. Okay, first of all, we don't really talk about video games too often on this podcast, mainly because we have the Pixelated podcast, which is every Friday.
And which you all should listen to because it's amazing.
Yeah, it's doing pretty well, actually.
Justin and Steven, they know what they're doing.
It's something like that, yeah. We actually highlight a week's worth of video games every Friday. Highlight video game news, anyway. Anyway, Destructive Creations. This is a company that Steve and I have talked about before. They made a game, and they're currently working on a game called Hatred. And it's one of those ones where it just adds fuel to the fire of violence in video games. Honestly, I don't think it serves much of a purpose, this game. If you watch the trailer, which I encourage you to do, you can just basically go on YouTube and just type in Hatred the Game or something like that, and it'll come up. It's a minute and a half trailer. Or you can go to their website, which their website is called hatredgame.com. There you will see a trailer for the game. And basically, it is just a guy that is so disgusted with the world that he wants to kill everyone. In the opening seconds of the trailer, he's doing like a monologue, and he's saying, "My name is not important. What is important is what I'm going to do. I just fucking hate this world and these human worms feasting on its carcass. My whole life is just cold, bitter hatred, and I always wanted to die violently. This is the type of vengeance where no life is worth saving, and I will put in the grave as many as I can. It's time for me to kill, and it's time for me to die. My genocide crusade begins here. Then it cuts to gameplay footage of him shooting police officers, executing men and women that are actually begging for their lives. The game was actually put on Steam Greenlight, and for those of you that aren't familiar, Steam is a PC platform that allows for digital downloads. Basically, it's a digital media library for your games, and it's owned by and operated by Valve. And the way Greenlight works is, so not everybody can just throw their games on Steam to be available for purchase. There's a voting process for the fans. And this game was on Steam Greenlight, and once a game gets a certain amount of votes, then it gets put in this wave to be released. And after just a few hours of going on Steam Greenlight, Valve shut them down. They said, sorry, it's not going to happen. In fact, the exact quotes were, from Valve to Destructive Creations, it said, we wanted you guys to know that based on what we see on Greenlight, we would not publish Hatred on Steam. As such, we'll be taking it down. So now people can't even vote on the game anymore. It's done. It's toast. It will no longer be published on Steam whatsoever. Even if it had all these votes to make it happen, like before it was shut down, it had gathered 13,000 upvotes, and it was in the top 7 of a top 100 list.
Wow. And,
yeah. So
it was on its way to being on Steam, basically.
Yes. Yes. And it's still on track to be released in Q2 of 2015. It just will not be on Steam. So you'll have to buy it probably from the game's own website. But this is one of those things where, you know, it's a pretty graphic game. I mean, to say the least. It's one of those ones where it pushes the, not so much as drawing a line in the sand, it destroys that line like it never existed. And, you know, you talk about games like Grand Theft Auto or Mortal Kombat, and it's a different kind of game. It is one where this guy, you're playing a madman. You are playing a psycho, someone that wants to die and wants to kill everyone before he dies. Whereas with Grand Theft Auto, you know, you're just a guy that's put in unique situations, and yes, there is violence. You do have an option in this open world to go ahead and run over people or shoot people, but you do that on your own whim, and there are ramifications, right? The police will kill you, or they'll catch you, they'll bust you, they'll kill you, you'll lose, you know, there's penalties involved. Mortal Kombat, there's this whole narrative of good versus evil. You're saving planet Earth from another realm. That's kind of a big deal, right? This is just, you're just some guy reminiscent. The first thing people are going to think of are real-life incidences, right? Like schools where kids go to school with a gun and shoot people, or even
Sandy Hook.
Yeah, Sandy Hook, there you go. So real-life things where anytime some incident like this happens, some terrible tragedy, news networks are going to show clips of this game. And so this is what's out there for people to play. And I don't think it has a place in my video game library. It's just not something that I'm interested in playing. Of course, we all have a decision to make is whether or not, you know, you have the right to play it. Sure, why not? But In this case, I actually applaud Steam for not having this game on their platform. I think it would do nothing but hurt the industry. What do you guys think?
I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, we talked a little bit off the air. You know, we talked about Mortal Kombat and Call of Duty, to where the point is to kill. But, I mean, in those instances, you know, you're a soldier in Call of Duty. You know, that, and sadly, that's what you do in war, is you kill the other person. And so there's an expectation, and it's not really glorified. You know, it's just something you have to do. In Mortal Kombat, you know, same thing. I mean, A, it's very cartoony in Mortal Kombat. You know, it's, you know, you're fighting aliens, and you're basically defending Earthrealm from people trying to take over and kill people. You know, you're the protector here. And so the narrative isn't focused on just killing. You know, this is just, hatred is just, the whole point of this game is to, the whole point of the game is to rile people up. You know, let's be honest, you know, the Destructive Studios is making this because they know by making it so over the top, this is going to be on Fox. This is going to get 13,000 upvotes on Steam, because there's a market of people who just want to be like, oh, this is cool, I get to do this, I get to do that, without really thinking about what they're doing. And, you know, I have no interest in playing a game. Like we talked about Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, if you get bored doing the missions, you can spend 2 to 3 minutes running over hookers in like a car or something like that. But I mean, that's not the point of the game. You know, that's just a distraction from the narrative. And I don't know. I think the whole thing is dumb. I think the people who make it don't believe in the game. I think they're just trying to I bet they all sat around and thought, what's a game we can make that'll just blow people's mind away and it'll get us on every news channel and this and that. And, you know, negative press is just as good as positive press in today's 24-hour media cycle.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have actually chosen not to cover it on Geek Legacy. I've made a conscious decision to avoid this game. It is not something that I want to do. I'm not interested in covering it anymore. Yeah, I'll talk about it on this podcast, but I'm not going to give them anything else.
Right, like the trailer's not on the site. You're not going to review right. the game for the site.
Right, for this. If there's someone wants to argue for or against, I'm happy to hear their arguments. Of course, we'll probably discuss it on the Pixelated podcast. And I think even the last time we talked about it, I was like, you know what, to hell with these people. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. It makes me mad just thinking about it. And, you know, of course, I want to hear Steven's thoughts on the matter, but that's about it.
Boom. What do you think about it, Randy? You've been quiet.
I don't know. I don't play much in the way of games like I used to. But I really... I think everybody should be able to play whatever they want. I don't want a game like this to be able to be... To easily find its way in the hands of just anybody. But at the same time, I don't like the fact that, like Justin was saying, this game is going to be used as fuel for many years to come for anybody who wants to blame violence on video games. This is going to be kind of that scapegoat. Like, look at what's out there for our kids to play. But the fact of the matter is it's not easy to buy, and this is something that we talked about before we started recording tonight too, but it's not out there at Toys R Us or GameStop available for anybody to walk in and purchase. You have to go out of your way to find this game to acquire it. So it's not the kind of thing that somebody's going to accidentally receive as a gift or something like that in their Christmas stocking. Mm-hmm. This is something that people are going to have to, if they want to experience it, they've heard about it, they're going to have to go out of their way to get it and to bring it into their gaming routine, their cycle. And you know, as long as it's got the mature stamp on it and they're an adult playing the game, It's cool. It's okay. I mean, it's what America is based on. It's a more or less freedom of speech kind of thing that something like that can exist and somebody can play it. It kind of gives me the willies that something like that is so violent for the sake of just being violent, and it's more or less torture porn for anybody out there wanting to get involved in that. At least even with Grand Theft Auto, your character that you're playing, there's an entire storyline and you kind of right. sympathize with him. There's a reason why he's doing the things that he's doing. In this, it's just you are mentally ill and you are just a murderer on a killing spree. There is no, it's not even a hero, not even an anti-hero. You're just a fucking douche with a gun and an arsenal of weapons going out and killing people. And that to me just sends the wrong message, because you're not even telling a story. It really is just torture porn or murder porn or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Based on the trailer, that is what we are led to believe.
Yes. And unless there's some compelling character arc with that story.
Like he's possessed.
Yeah.
Well, if you disagree with us, hit us up on Twitter at Geek Legacy. I would love to hear from someone who has a different perspective on it. And if you follow us, any of us on Twitter, you know that we have fun on our Twitter. Don't be afraid that we're just going to be like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. You know, I would love to have a constructive conversation about this. So it probably won't work on Twitter, because nothing on Twitter is constructive.
Yeah, you have 140 characters to prove your point. And not only that, but we're also not arguing. We're not arguing freedom of speech, and we're not arguing that no one should buy this game. We are saying that this is a game that is distasteful, and we don't like it, and we are excited that Steam has chosen not to publish the game.
I mean, Steam would have made, I'm sure, a lot of money off this game. I mean, if it's got that kind of thing, I mean, they made a decision to lose money. It's not like it was going to cost Steam any money to put this game up there. They would have made probably a couple, they would have made some, like, four digits off it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just a moral high ground. I don't think that this game is remotely interesting, and I'm choosing not to play it.
Boom.
There you go.
Knowledge dropped.
So, let's move on. No more hatred. Pottermore, Dave, you're a subscriber. You're an active subscriber. Last week we talked about J.K. Rowling, and you called her Rawlins.
Did I?
Yeah, and I didn't even notice when we were talking about her until the playback. And I was like, Rollins? Who the fuck is Rollins?
Rollins?
I'm like, Rowling, J.K. Rowling, like the whole rest of the day, so I didn't accidentally call her Rollins. Anyway, Pottermore, so, this is a thing. People subscribe, they pay, they like to read shit. Tell us all about it. 12 days of Potter.
It is kind of a thing. Like, I doubt either of you, neither of you are Pottermore subscribers, right?
No.
It's like the least intuitive, most user-unfriendly site in the history of the universe. Like, it's one of those sites that forces you to use their, like, quirky, like, map and, like, icons and stuff like that. There's no, like, menu. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't go to, like, books in the drop-down and, like, list the books and stuff. No, you got to go to, like, you have to go to Hogwarts, and then you have to go to, like Harry's story, and then you have to, like, sort through the books, and they're, like, this one long, like, continuous chronology at the bottom. So aside, you know, as someone who runs a website, you know, that I would like to think is intuitive and easy to use, the site is just a train wreck as far as that goes. But that's neither here nor there. What I wanted to talk about was J.K. Rowling.
Rowling. J.K. Rowling.
I'm going to mess it up all day, all night. She had released her statement last week about the 12 days of Christmas, where she had promised us a lot of new goodies for the 12 days of Christmas. And every news outlet, ours included, assumed that that meant that there were going to be 12 new short stories, because she had mentioned she wanted to do one on Draco, she wanted to do one a couple of the other characters, and she mentioned having little stories about potions. But apparently that's not what it means. It means that there's going to be like two new stories and then like a new riddle a day. And it seemed like a whole lot of press for nothing. And then even on the Pottermore site, they kind of take jabs at like us idiot press people who couldn't read between the lines, who misinterpreted the press release. Well, maybe if your press release is going to be as unambiguous as your site, maybe you should spell it out for us stupid muggles. You know, I did a little research, and I just Googled, you know, the press releases for that. And out of the 40 sites that reported on it, 38 of them reported there was going to be 12 new stories. So we're not the only idiots out there. But the site, in their little message boards, are like, well, I know all the Pottermore fans are smart enough to realize that we're not going to give out 12 new stories. You know, JK's not that giving or something like that. And it was just a very douchey way to put it, and I was kind of turned off for a while. You know, I'll read the Draco story when it comes out. But, yeah, Pottermore, I'm not a fan. You guys should check it out. Make a little free account, you know.
No.
Maybe you guys will love it.
No.
Yeah, so it's kind of dumb.
Sounds dumb.
Just want to bitch about it.
Bitch, bitch, bitch.
I got a podcast like 8 people listen to. I can bitch.
Okay.
Just kidding. I hope there's more than 8 people listen.
Yeah. Like 9. Anyway. So, more bad news. So we've actually been talking about Bond films for a couple of weeks now, and after spending about 10 minutes last week talking about how amazing Christoph Waltz would be as Blofeld, now we're hit with new news. Randy, why don't you tell us all about it?
Christoph Waltz is coming out as saying that he is not playing Blofeld in the new James Bond film Spectre. He is, in fact, playing a quote-unquote much more interesting character. So I'm curious to see exactly who he is playing, or if this is another Star Trek Into Darkness, is Khan in it, is Khan not in it kind of thing. Who knows at this point? There's even a rumor floating around that Monica Bellucci is actually playing Blofeld, which would be a really interesting departure to have an incredibly attractive female playing that role. So it's completely in a state of flux right now. Let me just put it this way. The spoiler community out there does not know any more than we do at this point. So who knows? And maybe when that leaked script finally makes its way into the public's hands, some people will know, but I will remain neutral and uninformed until I hear it on Geek Legacy first.
That's right. He's going to play Oberhauser, whatever that means.
Absolutely nothing.
That's the name he says. That's the name of his character, supposedly. Just like John Harrison is Khan.
Right, I was about to ask, what was Khan's name again?
John Harrison. Yeah, I think it's all smoke and mirrors. I think it's Oberhausen.
Yeah, and it might be a very... But he could still be a pretty badass villain in the story. So it doesn't have to be Blofeld for it to be cool that he's involved as a Bond villain. So I think we're... If we just get bummed out over the fact that he's not playing a character that we've already seen on the screen, I think we're losing sight of the fact that we have a fucking badass actor playing a villain in a Bond movie. So let's just enjoy it for what it is, no matter what his name is.
Not, wouldn't it be a very villain thing to do to make us believe one thing and be something else?
Oh, of course. But I can't speculate if we're gonna have the con wool pulled over our eyes again.
I don't like wool. It's itchy.
It is both itchy and scratchy.
Oh, speaking of itchy and scratchy, did you see the Mad Max Fury Road trailer?
Tried to. Fell asleep a couple times.
Even with all that fire and explosions and Charlize Theron with a bald head and goggles?
I don't like Mad Max. I don't like the Road Warrior. I don't like any of that.
It's
nonsense.
Like a combination of all of them. It's got like the drum set thing going on, like from Thunderdome. It had a very Thunderdome and freaking oh my god, the second one called?
Road Warrior
effect. Yeah. It was total Road Warrior and Thunderdome mixed together. And on top of that, it's George Miller. He's the one who directed all these fucking movies, right?
I have the biggest movie chub for that right now, because I absolutely love the Road Warrior. I could kind of take or leave the first Mad Max movie. Mm-hmm. Thunderdome was a little iffy, but Road Warrior is where it's at. It's like hardcore R-rated violence and action, and to me that just sums up like the pulpy 80s movies in one glorious little package. And this to me looks like it is a return triumphantly to that model, and I'm all over it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what it is? It's fucking Waterworld on the land.
Oh my god. Well, now I'm sold. The only thing I'm excited about is Nicholas Holt is in it, and I like everything he's in.
I like Warm Bodies and I like X-Men. That Dust Devil, that's something that Mr. Bill Paxton would want to chase in Twister 2.
With Dorothy?
Yeah. I think it was nuts. I think Charlize Theron's pretty hot though with the shaved head.
Yeah, you know,
she's a pretty lady. Mm-hmm.
How does the one guy drive when he takes the steering wheel off the car? Did you notice that part in the trailer?
Maybe it's like a Wii U kind of steering wheel.
Motion control.
Yeah, he pops it off, but he can still pilot around his Mario Kart with it.
Oh, man. It's got some pretty, I think over the top is a good way to describe these movies,
yeah,
well, right?
You can't take these movies seriously. You can't go into a movie like The Road Warrior or any Mad Max movie and take it too seriously.
Right.
It's especially Thunderdome. Come on.
Right. There's even a scene in the trailer when, like, Tom Hardy just sticks his head out the window and he's like, "What the fuck? what just happened?" That's a little nuts. And I think that's even like he just watched the trailer and he's like, "What?" But, yeah, I'm with you, Randy. I'm excited for this. It's probably going to be terrible, but in a good way.
It's one of those few movies that I will be there without a question opening weekend checking it out.
Mm-hmm. And that means a lot gonna do me. It? Are you going to do it in 3D, or are you going to do the whole 2D thing?
I think that one would be one of those 3D experience movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if it was shot in 3D or if it was done in post?
I don't know
the
answer.
Post-conversion,
there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit less enthusiastic about the post-conversion ones, but, you know, they've turned out pretty well in the past, too.
Gravity was post-conversion.
No, it wasn't.
Saw that in 2D.
Yeah, it was.
Well, Gravity was, like, inverted motion capture. Like, it wasn't shot on IMAX cameras, but it was shot with the IMAX aspect ratio in mind. So, technically, yes, it was a post-conversion. You're right.
Thank you.
But it's...
Nicholas
Holt was the little James boy in About a Boy.
He called James Cameron, and James Cameron said, "Do it in post. Fix it in post." No joke, hand to God. I was there. I saw it. He said it. Alfonso Cuarón.
What if he know? He only has an Academy Award and directed the best Harry Potter movie.
I think he has his own cologne line coming out.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Smells like space.
Smell like success.
Or space.
Yes. Yeah. Smell like Sandra Bullock in the space capsule.
Yeah. There you go. I don't like that part when George Clooney opens up the door and gets inside the ship.
Yeah.
That's fake.
It was a dream.
I know. But when it was happening, I'm like, nope.
I will see you in the car, Lynn. Just walk out.
I like checked out. I was like, oh my god. At first when she gets into the ship and the station type deal and she's floating around and it looks like she's like a fetus and she's all tucked in and there's like an umbilical cord and stuff. I was like, really? Come on, that's stupid. And then just when I was about to forgive it being the entire motion picture show, George Clooney just is like a hitchhiker in space and he's like, hey.
It's like, hey, baby, go my way.
Exactly. Holy shit. I lost it. I was like, this is the worst movie ever. And of course, it was a dream. Spoiler alert. George Clooney died.
Presumably.
What does it say on his death certificate? Floating in space.
Yeah.
So hey, some people have to pay a lot of money to get their ashes scattered up there. If you already die up there, you're set.
Yeah.
Got a way to break down.
I think it'd be funny if his body just kept spinning around orbit. So people just saw it every time they went up.
It's like like those people who like spot the space station every time it drives by. Like, oh, there's George Clooney.
There you go. Anyway, Mad Max. Good shit. What else do we got here? Randy, you got a list?
I do have a fun list.
Go.
So with Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies coming out real damn soon, I want to do a little something kind of in conjunction with that. One of my favorite actors from both the Lord of the Rings trilogy and also from The Hobbit, of course, the magnificent Mr. Christopher Lee. So today's list, top reasons Christopher Lee is truly amazing. All right, number 10 on the list.
Like Jem, like she's truly, truly, truly outrageous. Whoa, Jem. Sorry.
I think he's even better. And
no,
we'll get to the reasons.
And why. The holograms?
Oh, yeah. He surpasses all of them.
You know, they're making that into a movie, right?
Oh.
Yeah, don't remind me.
I like the keyboard Sith player. What was her name? Not Jem.
Like Jam?
Guitar Sith? Jam. Guitar Sith? Is that what they're called?
The keytars?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like a kind that Devo uses?
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a shitty cartoon that was.
Whip it.
He was a redhead, too, by the way. The one with the guitar set.
You like your redheads.
Redheads, yeah. Man.
I know. I was just talking about Shirley Manson today. Isn't that weird? Yeah. All comes around full circle.
Maybe she'll be in the movie.
She's a little pale.
A little bit.
Anyway,
what is she doing these days?
She's got a Scottish accent.
She's going to see The Hobbit. What do you got on Christopher Lee?
All right,
I can't host these things. I fucking Tangent City.
It's because
you're going to be editing a large chunk out of that.
Randy and I are concerned because you have to edit it, so we keep it tight. And you're like, I'll edit it. Mm-hmm. To where maybe the ones you do, I'll have to edit, so you'll feel bad and you'll keep your shit together.
Oh, man. Brutal. It's like 3 hours of audio. It's a 45-minute show.
Yeah.
It's a motion picture show.
Yeah. All right, so number 10 on our list. Did you know that Christopher Lee was in the Special Air Service, the SAS, in World War II?
What did he do there? Is his file redacted?
Some classified shit, which we'll get into later in the list here.
Okay.
But yeah, he was pretty much a badass. He saw a lot of quote unquote real horror and blood.
Sounds
that cool. Left him to unable to be moved by such scenes depicted in movies because he lived it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could see him saying those exact words. I'm unmoved. Sorry.
Yeah. No, seriously. Some serious shit. All right, number 9 on the list. He actually met J.R.R. Tolkien in the heyday of his career.
Yeah, they were buddies. He was the
only cast member involved in the cinematic tellings of his universe that actually had a friendship with the creator.
That's why he was so butthurt on like every change Peter Jackson did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because like Christopher Lee like reads the Lord of the Rings books every year. He reads them. It's like his rich. That's like his thing. I don't know.
Does it take him a year to read them? Takes me a year to read them.
I think he skips the singing.
Oh.
And The Hobbit. It helps.
Now, here's something that you guys may have seen a little bit more recently, because I've seen some stuff posted to Facebook about this within the last week or two. Did you know that Christopher Lee records heavy metal albums?
No, yeah, and I tweeted it.
Yeah, yeah. He just had like a new song drop or something like that last week or so. I haven't heard it, but I am so intrigued. Like the minute we're done with the podcast, I am going to go listen to some because I have got to hear this.
Is he a singer?
He's a singer and he's playing. He's got like a fucking axe in his hand, like a big old fucking guitar. So I have got to listen to this. So yeah. Check it out. I can't endorse it because I don't know what it sounds like, but I'm intrigued as hell, so I'm definitely going to listen to it.
What's the name of his band?
He just does it like solo by himself, I think.
Oh, it's just him?
Yeah.
The Christopher
Lee project. What has happened is he will like collaborate. Them. He'll collaborate with other like metal bands and shit. So.
Yeah, they released a Christmas single.
A metal Christmas single by Christopher Lee. Why don't I have
Darkest this Darkest Carols Faithful Sing is the YouTube link that I'm staring at right now on this list. So
yeah,
I don't know, man.
I texted it to you guys like 2 seconds ago, so you should have it.
Sweet. So number 7 on our list, according to Guinness, Christopher Lee is the tallest and most prolific leading actor. Now, of course, he's not the tallest leading actor that's ever been. He's only 6'5", but he measures, yeah. He measures as the tallest leading actor in history with the most number of movies to his name.
Which is so, like 200. The guy's been in a million things.
Exactly, because he's been in like a bazillion of those Hammer horror movies, which actually segues nicely to number 6 on our list. You know, he didn't want to continue playing Dracula after the first one that he did for the British horror cinema production company, Hammer Films. The only reason that he kept coming back, even though the scripts were falling in quality, you know, from movie to movie to movie, is because the producers told him that the only way America is going to buy off on this is to have you involved in it. So we need your name attached to the film to sell to America. And that's the only way we can continue making movies is by selling these movies to those silly Americans. So it's just because of the fact that he had such a following here in the United States that kept his involvement in those Hammer horror films as Dracula. Otherwise, he would have just done a couple and then boned out. He's openly not happy with the quality of a lot of them. Okay, and this one, number 5 here, kind of segues from our heavy metal action. Opera. He's got a very operatic family, and he himself has quite a natural talent for music. Hmm. Yeah, his grandparents started the first opera company in Australia, so it's in his blood. And that's kind of interesting. Number 4, this one's a little bit of a stretch, but apparently it's true. He met Rasputin's killers.
What?
Yeah. So if you've heard the legend of Rasputin, he was shot, poisoned, stabbed, beaten, drowned, and didn't fucking die. This guy would not die, right? And of course the tale's super, super exaggerated, but there are a couple people who are more or less responsible for his death. And late at night, Christopher Lee's mother woke her son in the middle of the night so that he could meet some very bizarre guests: Prince Yusupov and another of the conspirators to kill Rasputin, Dmitry Pavlovich. Now, he was young at the time when he supposedly met them at the introduction of his mother, so he doesn't really remember it, but it left a long lasting impression on the man. And it actually affected his portrayal of Rasputin on screen many years later when he actually played the character. So that's kind of interesting. Now, here's a little thing I don't know if you guys have ever heard. Number 3 on the list, he has allegedly quite an occult library, ranging from, depending on whose reports you listen to, between 2,000 and 20,000 occult books in his library, which means he is into some weird and dark shit. Now, that's allegedly, because when actually questioned about it, not questioned, it sounds like an interrogation, when he was asked about it, he says that it was greatly over exaggerated and he maybe has 5 books in his collection about the occult. And then he goes on to say that he's actually met some Satanists and highly recommends that you stay away from them, because let me find the quote here. He warned everybody in the audience to stay away from delving into such matters, because if you get involved, you will not only lose your mind, you will lose your soul.
Ooh.
And then he lightheartedly criticized the media for completely blowing the occult library story out of proportion. So number two, this one's fun. This kind of goes back to his SAS days. He knows the sound of a backstab. So if you guys are familiar in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, when the Wormtongue character stabs Saruman in the back, mm-hmm. Peter Jackson was coaching his actors on how to approach the scene and what kind of sounds they should make, that sort of thing. And Christopher Lee just kind of took Peter Jackson aside and said, "Do you know what it sounds like to stab a man in the back? Because I do." and then you know, I mean, imagine that creepy scene, right? So then he proceeds to kind of lay out exactly what it sounds like to stab someone in the back, and they wouldn't be shouting out in pain because all the breath leaves through that fucking hole you just punctured in their lungs. So it's more like a strangled gurgling sound. And he went into very dark and gruesome detail about what it sounds like to stab a man in the back, which leads the question,
that's weird.
Exactly. What did you do in World War II there, buddy? But number one, and this one's fascinating, he's got some royal lineage. So he comes from the same Lees that part of the family came out to the New World and eventually spawned Civil War General Robert E. Lee. So he's got lines spread out through American history. But possibly even more interesting, he is a cousin to Ian Fleming, the author that created James Bond. But he is also distantly related to Charlemagne himself. So his family is quite proud of that fact, still bearing the coat of arms of Charlemagne to prove it.
Isn't he a count?
I think you're thinking of Duco.
he played Kennedy once.
Yeah, exactly. He is a sir, though. He's been knighted.
Oh, shit. Who hasn't?
Well, I mean, I guess just about everybody can. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dumb law.
I'm not going to lie. Christopher Lee Heavy Metal just changed my life. My iPod will now be full of Christopher Lee singing Little Drummer Boy.
Why are you listening to that and not Randy's List?
Because if I listen to Randy's List, I talk too much.
What a disrespectful.
I was doing both. It's like a two-minute clip you sent, and I just skimmed it.
It's your attitude, pal.
It's your attitude.
Cool. So, hey, that's my list this week.
Congratulations. I like it. That's a good list. Battle of Five Armies. That's unleashed on us this week.
Yes. Yeah. I am seeing it tomorrow.
Our review should be on the site first thing tomorrow morning.
What?
Bar go up. You can read all about it.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, then maybe you should wait to read all about it.
Oh. Do we have a game this week? Normally I make them, but I heard you do. You're making
them. I did. I don't know. I've been kind of secretive about it, but I guess, you know, we're all friends from the podcast. I started a new job. You know, the good folks at in Middle Earth hired me. They're going to be doing a dating show, kind of like the Love Connection, ooh, but for characters within Middle Earth. And so I got some of their you know, at the beginning, you know, the host will come out and say, you know, introduce the suitors, and it'll be like, this suitor did blah 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 blah, a quick little like 2 second blurb on him. So I wanted to run by these 10 gentlemen suitors to you guys and see if you could guess who the cast member was. There's going to be a nice female, maybe she's an elf, a dwarf, a hobbit from Middle Earth, trying to find love, and these are her 10 suitors. And I have a brief little 2-sentence little thing, and you guys have to tell me which character I'm talking about.
Is this from all the movies that have ever been made, or is
it? These people are all in Hobbit, but some of the characters that branch out in other films, you know, they may include something of that in their bio because they're established. You know, they may want to brag a little bit. So, shout out the answer when you know it. If you guess wrong, you're out for that question. We play it straight at the David games. We just do 10 questions. Whoever has the most points at the end wins. We don't do golden snitches and special rules for people in Florida. Oh. Sound good?
All right.
We don't. I don't either. I don't do special rules for people in Florida. I did special rules for Randy, who had been to
my
twice.
Best. We are not
three
in
times.
Three
times.
The,
we're not in cahoots with the Florida Tourism Board. In the David game. So, are you guys ready?
Is there a golden snitch?
There's no golden snitch.
What the fuck? Your game's the worst!
There's 10, well, there's 10 questions. Just get more.
What if we tie? Yeah.
Then you guys are best friends, and I love you.
We are best friends already.
Well, there you go.
We share semen.
Then your reward is friendship. and semen.
To make the ultimate kid.
Animal semen.
Yes, that too.
All right, are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. So, Suderette. This sled aficionado enjoys rodents in his pockets and bird shit in his hair. He dislikes... Radagast it is. He dislikes spiders and shampoo. Randy on the board with one. All right, Suderette. This barefooted homebody likes quiet alone time. Bilbo it is. This jewelry enthusiast is the proud owner of the realm's largest monocle. Be careful, single ladies. He may put a ring on it even if he doesn't like it.
What?
I'm trying to think who wears a monocle.
Three, two, one. No, no one gets it. Nah, it was Sauron. He's got one eye.
He doesn't wear a monocle.
No, he doesn't, but he's got one eye. And if he had to, he'd wear a monocle because he doesn't need glasses. Moving on. Suderette, this elf charmer is quick with a dagger and loyal to a fault. But watch out, ladies.
Legolas.
But watch out, ladies. His heart might belong to an elf. I mean, but how would that work? He's so small, he would need to get in there like a miner with a pickaxe.
Oh, Keeley.
It is Keeley, but you already guessed.
I'll say Keeley.
Good going, Randy.
No, that's okay. You don't have to give me points for that one.
Moving on. All right, Suderette. Let me save you the trouble, ladies. This guy is so fat, he thinks the Arkenstone is something you cook pizza on.
The fat one.
Is that like Bomber or something?
Bomber! All right, Randy.
Oh, sweet.
Running away with this. I think Justin is sad there's no golden snitch. All right, moving on. Suderette, this amateur crossing guard loves little people and all things gray. He dislikes Balrog.
Gandalf.
Gandalf. Job, Justin. On the
crossing guard, that's cute.
he dislikes Balrogs and the convenience an eagle can provide by dropping you off at your destination instead of just a third of the way there. All right, moving on. This stout would-be king's name might be a little on the nose, but he doesn't care.
Oakenshield, Thorn.
Yeah, really, about anything, except maybe reclaiming the lost city of Erebor. All right, Justin got two. All right, Suderettes. This tall drink of water sports a wicked ponytail and enjoys shield surfing and seeing the dwarves get their what for. All right.
Is it a ponytail?
Doesn't it?
Yeah, he does sometimes, yeah.
All right.
Really?
All right, Suderettes. This turncoat motherfucker likes the warmth of a Palantir in his hand and the smell of a burning forest.
Oh, Christopher Lee. Sauron. Saruman.
There you go.
Count Dooku.
All right, Randy. You got four. Justin, you got three. You guys can tie it up and we can be super best friends forever here. All right.
All right.
Suderettes. This sick bastard loves shiny things and raw fish.
Gollum.
All right, Justin. 4-4. He loathes many things, but none more than that fat hobbit. So great job, guys. 4-4. I had a tiebreaker, but I didn't write it down because I thought, you know, we can tie. This is like soccer rules. This is like first round of World Cup soccer rules. And now we can all be friends.
Yay. There's so much less... Like, the stakes aren't as high when nobody wins.
I know.
But I'm okay with that.
I am, too. We shouldn't have even kept score.
Yeah.
I treasure your friendship.
I treasure your face.
Yeah. Well, that's my game. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. Good game, Dave. It was awesome.
I had fun.
I'm sensing some sarcasm.
No extra baggage from those guys.
None whatsoever. I was sad that you didn't get the monocle one. I thought I was being clever. I out-clevered myself, I guess.
I was fooled because he has such amazing vision. He can see so goddamn far away. He can even see invisible fucks that I in no way did I ever think that he needed corrective lenses or a corrective lens.
Well, he gets those x-ray specs out of the back of Boys Life magazine. Yeah. That's how he can see invisible fucks. So he has x-ray monocle. You just can't see it.
I see it now.
Only now.
What a great game.
At the end. Channel my inner Palpatine.
Yeah, dude. What's up with Palpatine's first name? Did you hear that? Sheev? I know that was released a few weeks ago, but I just read an article and it was referring to him by his first name. And it's because of the Tarkin. Yeah, the new Tarkin book that's coming out. That's kind of set in the Rebels universe. It's one of the first novels in the new expanded universe, and it deals a lot with Tarkin, with Grand Moff Tarkin or whatever Governor Tarkin he is at the time, and the Emperor, Sheev Palpatine.
Cannot wait.
Uh-huh.
I love you, my Tarkin.
Sheev. All right, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Does anybody have any shout-outs before we're over?
I have a shout-out.
What? What do you got?
My shout-out goes to our good buddy Andy B. over at the Flash Podcast. He was Flash Follow Friday-ing everybody, so I called him out on it. Then he called me out that I didn't Follow Friday him, so I Follow Friday you now. Good job, Andy B.
But good job, Andy B. You know who else is? Scott Murray is he's a permanent co-host on the Flash Podcast.
Yes.
This was news to me.
Yeah. He filled in replaced. The shoes. He filled in your shoes, and what's his name filled in the girl's shoes.
There you go. That's exciting stuff. Yeah. I listened to last week's episode, and I was like, "Hey, I know that voice." And then I looked at the credits, and I saw his name. I was like, "Oh, there we go." So then I hit him up on Twitter. I said, "Hey, are you permanent on this show?" He said, "Yes, absolutely."
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How about that?
I don't even watch The Flash and listen to the podcast.
There you go. It's not too bad.
Yeah. So I'm almost caught up on Arrow, though. I'm on the Flash episode of Arrow, so.
Oh, you're further than me. I'm not feeling Arrow this season. I don't know what my problem is, but I'm not enjoying it. I think Oliver's just being a dick for the most part, and I'm just not liking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think I'm definitely enjoying Flash more this season than I am Arrow.
Well, there you go.
I like Brandon Routh in Arrow because I like him, and I like that he's going to be the Atom, and we're starting to get hints about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you guys aren't caught up yet, but you get bigger hints.
Like it happens
in the future episodes. It's
such a hint that it happens.
I think it's involved in because it's not the island anymore. I don't think Hong Kong is nearly as interesting as the island.
Right. Where he's like with people now and he's in civilization.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think of Ra's al Ghul, Randy?
It was interesting. And again, because I know you guys aren't caught up on the series, it leaves you on one hell of a cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the mid-season finale is more or less literally a cliffhanger.
Oh, shit.
Like someone hanging off of a cliff?
Yeah, like Sylvester Stallone.
Where he's saving Rowdy Burns,
yep.
His girlfriend, but not really because she falls and dies.
No,
Spoiler alert.
It's crazy, and Ra's al Ghul is a badass. I mean, it was one thing to see Liam Neeson play it on the big screen, but and I have a lot of respect for that version of the character, but this one's pretty cool. Cold-blooded killer.
He's a no-nonsense kind of guy, right?
No-nonsense kind of guy, but he's also kind of... You can kind of relate to him in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Does he go to Starling City, or does Oliver go to him?
He goes to Starling City, and Oliver comes to him.
Like the cross in the air? He shows up like, I'm here for Ra's al Ghul. Fuck,
no, they're wreaking some havoc in the city. Basically, I don't want to ruin it for you guys, but... Oliver eventually challenges him to a one-on-one duel, and they have to go to like this sacred, sanctified ground to do this duel on. And it's like at the top of this mountain, and they're like, you know, the majority of the people that even try to duel here, they don't even survive the trek to get there.
Is it so like in Batman the Animated Series when Bruce Wayne is fighting that ninja dude, Kyodai, on like that volcano? Do you guys remember that episode?
I don't remember that one. So I do not know the answer to that question.
Sounds
but,
like the same thing.
It's definitely worth checking out, and finding's pretty decent.
Cool.
It looks fun. I mean, it's a fun episode, and it's a really fun place to leave it off. And again, I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but I highly recommend you just make it to the end of the season as quickly as you can, just so you can experience the last episode.
But they don't conclude the Ra's al Ghul storyline.
No, it's still very much open.
Because Slade's supposed to come back this season, too, in some capacity.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, they're bringing back so many characters. The what's his name? Captain Jack is back in a big way this season.
Malcolm Merlyn?
Yeah. And the name of the actor escapes me.
I like that he called out Oliver. It's like, you can't put me in a prison. Even that one you got on the island. Like, how you know about my secret island prison?
Isn't it like Barrowman? John Barrowman or something?
John Barrowman. Yeah.
Barrowman, that's his name.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's one of those things I would have snapped up in bed at 3 in the morning going, damn it, that's his name.
Lynn likes him a lot. She was she really watched that other show, too. Torchwood?
Mm-hmm.
She was into...
That was a fun show. I like that one.
Captain Jack.
Did she just watch the Children of Earth, the American episodes that aired, or did she watch the BBC version that ran?
Whatever's on Netflix.
Okay. Because a lot of it ran concurrently with Doctor Who.
Whatever was on Netflix. I don't know the answer to that. So it could have been whatever. It was a couple seasons, though. I know that much.
Yeah.
Damn it, Randy said whatever was on Netflix.
I get it. Diplomatic immunity.
Exactly. It's just been revoked. I saw that at the drive-in.
Yeah, I heard too.
Lethal Weapon 2?
That's what I meant. Like, Die Harder? I'm like, that's not right.
That had Colonel
Bingo
Stewart.
Cash?
Oh, man, I saw that in the theater, too. I saw that at the drive-in as well. Oh, now that I think about it. I forgot Terry Hatcher was in that until I saw it again recently.
I need to watch that movie again.
We don't have real theaters out in my Mad Max world. Grew up in the desert. They had to wait till sandstorms, and they projected the movie on the sand.
On the like sand, fantastic. It was basically... Yeah, like, exactly. I was just going to
make the desert fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's not cool. I'll tell you that much. You got to wear goggles. Anyway, other shout-outs, of course, go to Mr. Tim Byers over at Full Bleed and Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk. I believe we will have a new episode of Everything Geek tomorrow, which is exciting stuff. And that's where we get together once a month just to chat about what's happening with our three sites, those being Geek Legacy, SciFiTalk.com, and The Full Bleed, and everything that's happening on geek culture, minus The Walking Dead, because Tim is not caught up, because he's a bit of a fucker. What else we got? Our friends over at the Electric Fan Cave, they're doing a wonderful job with their podcast. Corey and Kristen, that is. And then you also have Assembly of Geeks podcast, which I can't say enough good things about them. I really like those guys. Check them out as well. These are all available on iTunes, of course. Remember to like us and rate us on iTunes. And if you do so, we'll actually have you as a contestant on our weekly podcast game. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure you can dethrone either myself, Randy, or David.
No.
I don't know. David's pretty good.
David is good.
He's like the Floyd Mayweather of of the podcast game.
Yeah, he throws $100 bills around and he beats women.
That's right. That's how I keep strong.
I was gonna go with Pacquiao, but he's been defeated a couple times.
Yeah, he's not good anymore. Pacquiao's aged.
I know. You hear they're trying to get the two of them together.
I know.
For that fight that we wanted like 5 years ago.
Oh, even more than that now, I think. Yeah, I think it's 2009 is probably when Pacquiao was like the most amazing.
Yeah, they were both undefeated for a while, and there would have been so much money thrown at both of them for fighting each other at that point in time.
Yeah. And Pacquiao had like 3 losses, but they were like, you know, old career fights, you know, with this big old rival guy. And then, of course, he had been like unstoppable. He'd been like this destructive force of nature for a while, and that would have been perfect. But we all know that Floyd Mayweather is a piece of shit and a money grubbing son of a bitch. And that's not even slander because it's true.
Well, I'm glad that I was just compared to him.
Yes.
I wasn't going for that aspect of things. I was talking about a champion who has won many fights.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Maybe I should have gone the fictional route with either Rocky Balboa or possibly Apollo Creed. Or, hell, I could even throw you some Dolph Lundgren in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dolph Lundgren's, he's a man. He beat Skeletor once.
He did. Threw him down a bottomless pit that had a bottom.
Yeah.
That's how strong he managed. He got Skeletor to the bottom of a bottomless pit.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We had a blast. Of course, this one ran long like it always does when I host because I'm terrible. And I'd just like to remind you to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. There you will find our podcast network, which features two other amazing podcasts. Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on the pull list. Of course, it is Valiant Month, so you can find out all the amazing things that's going on with Valiant. We also have the Pixelated Podcast, which we mentioned before, highlights a week's worth of video game news every Friday. It's hosted by Steven and myself. It's amazing. Check it out. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, @Geek Legacy. And you keep rocking and rolling. Thank you.